Today's episode is sponsored by Noom. Dieting is tough. I know, I'm in the middle of one. I'm 20 pounds down, and I still got a lot more to go. One of the things that's so tough about dieting is there's too much advice. A million different websites and a million different diet plans, when what you really need is one diet plan, yours. That's where Noom comes in. Noom uses psychology and your own unique biological factors that affect weight loss to help you develop a weight loss plan customized for you. To date, Noom has helped more than 5 million people lose weight. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. Active first-time Noom users lose an average of 15 pounds in 15 weeks, and 95% of customers say that Noom is a good long-term solution. This is based on a 3.5-year study of actively engaged Noom users with a minimum starting BMI of 25. Individual results may vary. Visit our website for more information. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com and experience Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Today's episode is sponsored by Adam and Eve. You know, I read so many stories about cheating partners and unhappy marriages. Maybe people wouldn't be in such unhappy relationships if they spent more time nurturing their love life. That's why you should check out today's sponsor, Adam and Eve. They've got toys for men, toys for women, and toys for... how should I put this? Well, it's not exactly r/am I the butthole, more like r/I'm in the butthole. And yeah, I realize that ordering adult toys can be a little scary because you may be concerned about privacy. Don't worry, Adam and Eve offers discreet and free shipping for your package. Trust me, these people are experts in your package. You can get 50% off on just about any item, along with free shipping and rush processing. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Then enter code r/ at checkout. That's r/, r/SLASH at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code r/ to get your discount, plus 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Use code r/. Welcome to r/Petty Revenge, where a scammer learns a very expensive lesson. Our next Reddit post is from John Wilkes Boof. I'm a 25-year-old guy, and from 2018 to 2022, I was a consistently broke pizza delivery guy. My common method for vehicles was to buy cars for less than $1,000, do minor repairs, and drive them for 3 to 6 months until they exploded. I'd make like 10 times on the car and then would wash and repeat. I did this probably 7 or 8 times over the years. The only time I ever got burned was buying a 98 Civic Coupe. I remember I was a little extra broke, but I needed a car for that week, and Civics and Corollas are the easiest and cheapest for me to work on. I texted the guy and drove to Felony Flats in Portland. Red flag number one. And I was greeted by a man with a gold grill. Red flag number two, who didn't speak much English, which wasn't helped by my poor Spanish. The car itself was pretty beat up cosmetically, but ran perfectly, so I gave him the $800 and headed to work. This is where the shenanigans began. The next day, I was trying to register the car, only to realize that the title was voided due to the car being in a wreck, so I wouldn't be able to register it until I got a proper title. It was annoying, but I figured the guy made an innocent mistake. I call the guy and leave a message saying there's issues with the title, but he doesn't respond. I call this guy more than 100 times over the next 2 weeks to get it figured out, but he keeps ignoring me. At this point, I figure I've been had, so I move the car to a public street to deal with another day. One morning, I come out to the car to find tickets for the car not having registration and not having insurance left on the car. Between the two tickets, these were like $150 to $200, and it had a tow warning. At first, I was enraged, until it dawned on me that this car was not in my name, and those tickets were not mine to deal with, so I made a plan. Every few days, the car would get reticketed and tagged for towing. I would come out, place the tickets on the driver's seat, move the car by a few feet, and erase the tow markings. After about 2 months of this, I'd racked up about $2,000 in tickets on this car that's not in my name. One day, I get a frantic call from, guess who? The man who sold me the car, who also miraculously learned perfect English. He was telling me he was getting calls from the city and begging me to not let them tow it. I think at this point he realized what I was doing, and that he would get me the title that week, and the delay was because he and his wife were in a nasty divorce and she had the current title. I simply responded, "What car?" and hung up on him. As I was leaving my apartment, I saw the cops there getting ready to load it onto the tow truck, and I decided to let it go in case the former owner came looking for it. Ultimately, I never got my $800 back, but that guy got $2,000 in tickets, $4,000 if he didn't pay him in the next 30 days, as well as a $1,000 tow bill. And if the story about his divorce was true, a super pissed off ex-wife because the car was still in her name too. You can't put a price on that. I never heard from him or the city about the car. My only regret was not driving it to an empty parking lot and leaving it in a handicapped spot. But I didn't want to risk being seen on cameras. Hope you enjoyed. So I'm not super duper familiar with common scams nowadays, and I'm not sure if this guy was just lazy and he didn't care about OP, so he didn't want to put the effort into getting him the title, or if he sold OP the car with the intention of eventually stealing it back, because if the title doesn't get transferred, then it's his car, which means OP would have paid $800 for a car that was never his in the first place. Either way, this guy clearly ended up regretting it. Our next Reddit post is from Awesome Possums. This is something I witnessed last night at the supermarket. I am way too much of a coward to do anything like this myself. I was in the condiment aisle picking out salad dressing. There was another girl, looked around my age, 28, reading the back of mustard packages. I'm assuming looking at the ingredients. In comes another woman, about 40, on a scooter. I don't want to contribute to stereotypes, but this was a rather large person and very cliche of this particular large chain supermarket I was in. I'm guessing probably Walmart. She stopped her cart for 20 seconds, probably 10 feet away from Mustard Lady. I didn't think anything of it. Mustard Lady was barely 5 feet tall, maybe 100 pounds, standing close to the shelves. She had a basket close beside her that I think took up more space than she did. Suddenly, Scooter Lady charged forward, swerving a bit closer to the shelves, looking right at Mustard Lady. With a yelp and a rather impressive jump back, Mustard Lady dodged the scooter, but her basket was toppled over, knocking several things out. Scooter Lady kept her head forward and made no acknowledgement. Before I could even decide if I had the social fortitude to offer to help, Mustard Lady scooped up her goods and basket, caught up with the scooter, and grabbed what looked like a box of pasta from the scooter's basket. She then walked across the aisle and put the pasta box on the top shelf where Scooter Lady couldn't reach it. Scooter Lady screeched, "What the hell?" Mustard Lady responded with a deadpan, "Oh, so you can see me." I don't remember the exact phrasing because I get petrified of even secondhand conflict, and this was so absurd. But Scooter Lady gave a short rant about Mustard Lady being in the way and her needing to pay more attention to her surroundings. I think Scooter Lady must have thought that Mustard Lady was on her phone. I don't think Mustard Lady actually intended on placing the pasta box up on the shelves because she had just been sort of holding it above her head. However, when Scooter Lady's self-righteous speech was over, Mustard Lady didn't say another word. From what I could tell, Mustard Lady didn't even look mad. Mustard Lady just looked right at Scooter Lady and tossed the pasta box up onto the upper shelf and walked away. Though she did walk the long way behind the scooter, I think to avoid being run over. I had been pretending to choose between some vinaigrettes, but I tossed the closest one in my cart and slipped away, lest I become the next hit-and-run victim. Our next Reddit post is from Shadow. 7 years ago, I moved into a 4-bedroom house with 3 of my friends. I was the only woman among 3 dudes. One of the roommates was the owner's son. We were all friends in college, and honestly, it was a great living situation for 2 years. We all had different work schedules, and because I worked the earliest at 6 a.m., I had the downstairs bedroom. My friend Jay worked the night shift and got home at 4:30 a.m., and he had the room above me so that we didn't wake each other coming home. During the week, Jay and I would eat breakfast together before he went to bed and I went to work. We had a jar in the kitchen that we would all throw spare cash in, like $5 to $10 each. It was for common groceries like milk, eggs, basic bread, and the occasional house meals and beer. The rule was always that if you use the last of the common stuff, then you take from the jar to cover the cost and grab it from the grocery store ASAP.
Whenever we grabbed pizza or whenever I made a meal for everyone, we used the same fund. This is very important to the story. About 5 months into living like this, Jay met Karen and started dating her. He brought her to one of our game nights to introduce her to us and get a feel for how she'd mesh with us. Everything was fine when Karen thought that I was only the girlfriend of another roommate. Since we were playing in the dining room right by my room, Karen saw me go into my room to grab a sweater early in the night. Then she saw my other roommate, the one she assumed I was dating, go upstairs to grab his phone charger. The entire vibe changed, and she started to ask me who I was dating. She was floored when my roommate confirmed that I lived there, that I had my own room, and I wasn't dating any of them. She saved face by saying that she was surprised I'd want to live with three men, and we moved on. Me and Cam, the owner's son, were the only ones who realized that Karen saw this as a problem. After that, she started coming over right after I got off work and leaving when Jay went to work. If I came out of my room to the living room, she'd ask me why I was out of my room. If I was going to the kitchen, she would remark that I was being disrespectful to her and Jay and interrupting their time together. If I was talking to Jay when she got there, she'd practically grind on him and shove her tongue down his throat. She even complained that I was ruining the mood for doing my laundry. Jay had made it clear to me that he knew that she was being a problem and had started pushing for them to just chill inside of his room. Unfortunately, Karen used this opportunity to make some of the worst adult video imitation noises that any of us other roommates had ever heard. We laughed it off and left those two alone. After a couple of weeks, Karen had gotten drunk before Jay went to work, and we insisted she stay in his room and sleep it off. I bought her food and Tylenol because this girl was gonna feel terrible in the morning. The next morning, Jay came home and started making breakfast for me and him, when Karen came downstairs and just started screaming. She actually woke up the other two roommates. She accused Jay of cheating, accused me of having relationships with all the guys, then made the dumbest statement possible. She demanded that I pay Jay back for the food that he was wasting on me. Cam literally grabbed a $5 bill from the jar and slapped it in Jay's hand. Cam and I had a come-to-Jesus talk with Jay. We both told him that if Karen couldn't deal with me living here, then she could no longer come over. Jay asked for a week to figure things out, trying to claim that she was just caught by surprise when she saw him making me breakfast and she wasn't thinking clearly. We gave him 1 week. During that week, mysteriously, the grocery jar was getting raided. We all noticed and talked about it. We noticed that my clean dishes were appearing, still clean, in the sink. Little things were disappearing from common rooms and weirdly appearing in my room. Karen was acting all sweet. She wasn't exactly covert. Cam and I knew that Karen was sowing chaos, but being curious where this was headed, we just watched. After a week, Cam gets a call from his mom asking if I had been going through something lately. Apparently, a concerned party had sent her picture after picture and story upon story about how I was trashing the house and stealing. Karen expected this to get me in trouble. Lucky for me, my landlord was actually worried that I wasn't doing okay and wanted Cam to help me get through it. Cam told me about this, and I started planning my petty revenge. The first thing I did was eliminate the grocery jar. I split up what was in it evenly between the four of us, and I told them that because of the raided stash, I felt that it needed to go away. Karen did not like this, but when we asked her why, she claimed that it was rude for me to make a unilateral decision. Cam backed me, and I won the battle. Then I started hanging out with Cam in the living room every day. Karen complained, but Jay told her that it's our house and we can do as we please. Whenever she would go to the kitchen, one of us always asked what she was doing in our fridge. She stopped going in our fridge after 2 days. The weekend was here, and we knew that Jay had an extra overnight shift, and Karen was planning to stay in his room so they could hang out the next day. Cue my biggest petty move ever. Just a little information. Cam and I met in college where we both studied theater, specifically acting. That Friday, me and Cam hung out in Cam's room, right next to Karen's. We were really loud when Jay left, acting like he couldn't know that Cam and I were hanging out alone in his room. This caught Karen's attention. We started shaking the bed. Within minutes, we got a text from Jay asking what we were doing. Cam replied, playing video games. After 10 minutes, we stopped the bed shaking and actually did play video games. When Jay demanded a FaceTime session, he saw exactly what he needed to see. Me beating Cam in Mario Party. We kept this pattern up for a few hours. After a while, we decided to put the finishing touches on. We made a big deal about me needing to go to my room before Jay got home, and Karen took the bait. We could see the little sliver of light in my doorway from Karen peeking in, watching. Cam and I stage kissed, and I headed to the living room. Jay came home 10 minutes later to find me watching a movie, which is normal for me, and asked me what was up. I told him I'd been up playing video games all night with Cam. He tells me that Karen claimed that me and Cam were doing the nasty, and I told him that we didn't. Jay goes to bed. The next day, Jay calls a house meeting with Karen. He tells us that Karen is making claims about us having a relationship and hiding it from him. We say that Karen's full of it. We tell him that Karen made up our relationship and how he went to Cam's mom to get me in trouble. Jay asks our other roommate if he heard anything from the bedroom. The guy doesn't even flinch and says, "I heard OP calling Cam her bitch and the usual Mario Party shit talk. They were not banging." Jay asked about the grocery jar. We all told him that we suspected Karen. The next day, Jay broke up with Karen for trying to turn him against us. He called her a liar and a thief. A few months later, Jay dated another girl. She was awesome, and they're married now. I was a bridesmaid. But the absolute best part was Karen was one of the wait staff, and she had to watch Cam with his wife and me with my fiance, telling them the story of how he once dry humped a mattress fully clothed to get back at a thief. Yeah, at that point, Jay learned the full story and he didn't mind at all. To address the reason why Jay wanted to know if me and Cam were actually getting funky, he's the kind of dude who hates useless secrets. If Cam and I were hooking up, he'd be fine with it. If we were hooking up and actively hiding it from him like we couldn't trust him, then he'd have an issue. That's why we played so hard into the Jay can't know angle. Cam claims that Jay secretly wanted me and Cam to get together, but nah. Down in the comments, someone asks, "How did Karen react when Jay dumped her? Did she go psycho and they all blame it all on you?" OP replies, "If I remember correctly, Jay threatened to sue her for the missing cash from the grocery fund if she ever caused a stink. So luckily, I didn't have to deal with her after she got dumped."
That was r/petty revenge. And if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.